Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
I also wanted to ask, how have you... I guess I'll phrase it this way. Can you share a time where you have applied counter-racism on your job? I know workplace racism is a subject that is near to my heart, something we try to talk about often. Can you share a time where you've had to apply counter-racist techniques on the job?
Oh, yeah. Where do I begin? Oh, my. Let's see. Which one will I pick? Oh, there was a situation, I'm trying to think about the year, probably, I'd say 98, 99 time frame. Hey, what year, what was the first year that Tiger Woods won the Masters? Do you recall offhand?
I think that was 97, I think, 97.
Okay, then yes, I'm pretty sure this was around the 98 time frame then. Yeah, someone had found a paper left on the copier, the Xerox machine, and it had some white supremacist writings on it. So someone had found that. And they took it to, I guess, someone in HR, human resources, or maybe they took it to the, you know, assistant administrator or whomever. Anyway, so the HR person, head, was a white female who I had already clashed with because she had... tried to block a promotion that had been enacted for me. And by the way, I used counter-racist logic to deal with that situation. So I did get the promotion. But anyway, this other situation where there's this white supremacist material left on the copier. So she, this white female, racist suspect, had the assistant administrator, the most senior person in that division, send out an email to, you know, everyone in the division saying there would be zero tolerance of discussion about such in this workplace. There was no investigation done or anything like that as to where it came from or anything like that. And so I wrote this 3-page response that noted that there was no investigation done. And, you know, I asked a number of questions about that. And this zero tolerance on discussion about anything to do with racism that was noted, I thought that was inappropriate, because if you're not having a discussion about it, it's not being dealt with, and certainly it is present in the organization. And so I listed all of the reasons why we needed to have discussion about these topics. And so that got the attention of a number of senior folks. And yeah, there was not an investigation about that particular incident, but there was a rescinding of that decision or that directive to have no discussion about racism in the workplace. But it was, you know, it was according to code. And there were incidents where, there's many incidents, but I can say, particularly with Mr. Fuller's guidance, I have personally witnessed and have knowledge of, I know at least four situations where people who, black males in particular, who were coming under attack in various job settings, whether it's sort of a blue collar situation or so-called white collar office situation, whether it's highly technical or not, I have seen them be successful by practicing counter-racist logic and applying it in a workplace setting. And certainly Dr. Welsing did the same thing in support of a black female law enforcement officer who was verbally attacked on the job, and through her very calm, quiet tone of discussion about the system of white supremacy in the workplace, was able to be out unstressed and be protected from that environment for a number of years. And again, it's just having an understanding of what motivates people's behavior, those who classify themselves as white, and the skillful use of words, what you say, what you don't say, and particularly utilizing the Constitution. Various specific amendments, oftentimes the 14th and the 5th, but utilizing the Constitution to back you up, to align yourself with the mission of the organization, whatever it is, and utilize the Constitution and utilize codified language that will work for you and against them. You know, that's the sort of the recipe. But there have been a number of situations. Yeah, I was able to unblock the promotion that was being blocked by a white female by utilizing those kinds of principles. And, you know, being accustomed to being in situations with white females in particular, so you have, I found it helpful to make a preemptive strike to set forward before the meeting gets underway or the discussion that if a white female cries during this exchange, then she needs to excuse herself from the room and not serve as a disturbance or a derailment of this discussion. Because oftentimes that is used as a strategic measure, a tactical measure by white females to unravel a discussion about racism. So, yeah, there are many examples.
Wow. Now that counter-racist suggestion, that is worthy of a title. Dr. Sabrina Johnson, to have the preemptive strike to make sure that the weeping white woman does not strike. That is lovely.
Discussion that
we have
about
workplace
the system
racism
of white supremacy
every Thursday, 8 p.m.
in the workplace. Was able to be out on stress and be protected from that environment for a number of years. And again, it's just having an understanding of what motivates people's behavior, those who classify themselves as white, and the skillful use of words, what you say, what you don't say, and particularly utilizing the Constitution. Various specific amendments, oftentimes the 14th and the 5th, but utilizing the Constitution to back you up, to align yourself with the mission of the organization, whatever it is, and utilize the Constitution and utilize codified language that will work for you. And against them, you know, that's the sort of the recipe. But there have been a number of situations. Yeah, I was able to unblock the promotion that was being blocked by a white female by utilizing those kinds of principles, and you know, being accustomed to being in situations with white females in particular. So you have, as I found it helpful to make a preemptive strike to set forward before the meeting gets underway or the discussion, that if a white female cries during this exchange, then she needs to excuse herself from the room and not serve as a disturbance or a derailment of this discussion. Because oftentimes that is used as a strategic measure, a tactical measure by white females to unravel a discussion about racism. So there are many examples.
Wow. Now that counter-racist suggestion, that is worthy of a title. Dr. Sabrina Johnson, to have the preemptive strike to make sure that the weeping white woman does not strike. That is lovely. That can be applied. We have Workplace Racism every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Context of White Supremacy is every Friday now. Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Context of White Supremacy. Wow. Sun, moon, and stars. They just had the worm moon. I was just talking about that a week ago. Spring, transition of seasons. Wow. Make sure I give the timestamp. It is Friday, March 29, 2019, so I have been told. Sun, moon, and stars. So this is workplace racism. It will have a slightly different twist this year week because it has been what a series of 13 days under the system of white supremacy for Gus T. personally. I laugh and laugh and laugh. I've said it so many times. I think Ivy, about a year ago, this we had to go back to check to see exactly when, but I think it was about a year ago this time, Ivy, with distress, sincere distress in her voice, dialed in and she said, Gus, I feel like we're losing you to yoga. That you're going to hang up counter-racist broadcasting to go off and teach yoga to whites, I guess, in Seattle or I don't know. This week, if nothing else, wow. the yoga studio. Not that I had forgotten, but wowee, the yoga studio is on the plantation. No running. Not that that's what Gus T was ever doing, but wowee. And I am so thankful. All of this is workplace racism. You cannot cut corners. I've heard consistently from victims over the years, decade of counter-racist broadcasting, but I've heard over the years from victims of white supremacy who, for whatever reason, they don't stick to their code. I'm not even saying the counter-racist code as outlined by Neely Fuller Jr. or myself or Edward Williams or Dr. Francis Cress Welsing or Pamela Evans-Harris or anybody else. Your own code, what you think is counter-racist logic. Lots of victims not even doing that. For whatever reason, they get distracted. They get confused. They just don't want to do it. Happens to the best of us. Whatever reason, they don't do it, and then it ends up producing problems. For me, what has transpired over the last 12 days or so, it has been a phenomenal illustration of the importance of just sticking to your counter-racist code. I mean, it's not possible to be perfect in every situation, every time. We all make errors. But as best we can, make an effort to remain consistent in accordance with our views, our own counter-racist code about, you know, how we should handle situations according to what we view as counter-racist logic. That hugely important if I were not functioning in that manner. Wow, things could have gone drastically different. And I want to add, there's so much talk about account. Man, I have used that word accountability more in the last 11, 12 days. Really, in the last 4 days, I have used the word accountability more than I have, I think, at any other time in Cal's history. Wow. We don't ever talk about holding racists accountable because that is a whole nother issue. But we will, you know, waste. Anyway, BGQ. Yes, very important to stick to your code. Talking about accountability with regards to counter-racist code, you are the only person that can hold yourself accountable. Nobody else is going to be watching, you know, to see what you do and how you function when you're on a job or anywhere else, really. It's just you. It's not like there's a cow's audience sitting there waiting to call you a coon and throw things at you and that sort of thing. It's really up to you, the army of one, as it's been stated, to hold yourself accountable so that you can, you know, put yourself in position to make correct decisions. It would take a lot of time and energy to explain everything that has happened over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll have guests on to, you know, further illustrate everything. Again, just confirmed my views on white supremacy, racism, what it means to be white. And I've even been able to say that to the white people at the studio, at the yoga studio this week. It's been absolutely amazing. That's another thing, too. Anytime I know in the workplace, I talk about not accusing people of practicing racism, absolutely. That's counter-racist code. You don't want to get into making those sort of accusations on that. Absolutely. However, if you end up in an instance, workplace or otherwise, if you end up in an instance where it's, this is not the compensatory call-in, so I'll use a metaphor. Hand is in the cookie jar. They are caught red-handed, as they say. They have called you a nigger or something where it is explicit, it is flagrant, it is undeniable, racism is being practiced. If you are in one of those situations, and particularly where a white person has looked at this and said, oh yeah, that's definitely racism, that's what that is. You end up in one of those situations, everything changes. That would be workplace or anywhere else. You end up in a workplace situation where it is clear that's what it is, and the white people have looked at this and, oh man, called him a nigger, racism. At that point, oh no, we switch and we just talk like we're on the cows now. Now it's going to be whoop, 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 white supremacy, racism. was practiced. That is going to be a new aspect of my code. Anytime you end up in a situation where it's flagrant, this is not one of those situations where the black people aren't getting a raise. And, you know, yes, it's racism, but that's not one where they're going to meet. This is one, as I said, it is flagrant. Hand in the cookie jar. Called, someone has been called a nigger. You got a coon man, you know, footage, whatever. I mean, it is flagrant. And you got a white person, particularly if you get a powerful white person, but generally any white person will do, who has looked at this and, ooh, yep, racism was practiced. At that point, the language is not racial prejudice. It is not racial profiling. At that point, it is no half-stepping. You talk like you are talking on the cows. Whoop, whoop, whoop. We don't even say racism at that point anymore. It's white supremacy racism, and I might even drop racism altogether. At that point, it would be white supremacy has been practiced, and we just continue from there. Another important point, so many from the reason I say sun, moon, and stars, that was Sabrina Johnson, the great Sabrina Johnson. She just organized the tribute for Dr. Frances Cress-Welsing earlier, just a couple days ago this month. I did not anticipate playing that sound clip. I didn't even have a sound clip at the ready because I'm totally exhausted. I've been in bed all day long. I'm absolutely drained. It's been exhausting. Countering racism all week long. So I didn't have an audio clip at the ready to play for the program. So I was going through, we've done so many segments on workplace racism and hours of clips on workplace racism. I say, hey, Sabrina Johnson, let's see her advice on workplace racism. And wow, weeping white women. Let me tell you how, I can tell you how historic this week has been. I'm announcing that I'm canceling my membership at the yoga studio that I've been practicing at currently, taking 600 classes. And I'm canceling my membership because a white staff member practiced racism against me in a flagrant manner. That's the way that I stated it. And so I've been saying that to different folks, which has been an experiment in and of itself, seeing how white people respond to this. But I say this at one particular instance, and a white woman I had never met before. We've taken classes together for months, but I've never said anything to this white woman. I think we crossed paths at the grocery store after class one time and just gave a, oh, hey, and that's it. Nothing else. We've never talked about yoga, Seattle, coffee, nothing. And I see her on the way. I said, oh, yeah, we've practiced a bunch. I won't be seeing you anymore. I'm leaving because a staff member practiced racism against me in a foul, undeniable manner. I added that sometimes as well, just to make sure that it was, you know, this is not just some nigger's perspective that racism was practiced. And so she was aghast, like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. What? I'm so sorry. And so we move a few minutes later, and the instructor hears this, and it's, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And blah, blah, blah. She's getting married, so she's got, you know, other priorities. So we're talking. The white woman, who I've never met, I look over, and she's tearing up. Now, I think maybe she's crying about this white woman's wedding here because they are going over the details and where the honeymoon is going to be and all that. And so she's like, well, where are you going to go practice if you're not going to practice here anymore? I said, I don't know. I'm an instructor, you know, have options about what I'm going to do. The white woman, she tears up. She's and even apologizes. I don't even have to say anything about the weeping. She apologizes herself. It says, my goodness, I'm sorry. Let me get it together. That's my apologies. She said, that's I can't believe it that they, you have to leave because they practice racism. They should be the ones leaving. That is, I'm disgusted. I should be leaving the studio too. Incredible. There will be lots, and it can give one more. This is all workplace racism. I could put this whole incident in the context of work, and I can even double down on that. Not well, metaphor, but it's not the compensatory call. And I could double down on that because Part of the ramification of all of this, the white female owner of the studio invited me to come to their staff meeting to talk about racism. We will see. But the point that I wanted to make about not being emotional, that is extremely, I cannot emphasize that enough. Racism, white supremacy was practiced against me in a foul, undeniable manner. And it referenced back to the white woman who kicked me a year ago. That's what I mean about the alignment, because that incident happened almost a year ago, exactly at this time. Full circle. But not responding in an emotional manner. I hope, we've been doing this program for 10 years. I've given, in my view, a very explicit explanation of my view of what white supremacy racism is, what it means to be classified as white. If you are listening to this broadcast and you subscribe to any aspect of that, you should not be surprised, caught off guard by any white person practicing white supremacy racism at any time. The synagogue, the mosque, the yoga studio, the lavatory, doesn't matter. You should never be surprised about someone classified as white practicing racism. You can be upset about it, but even that, you want to make sure that you have control, because there were many opportunities over the past 14 days for Gusty to engage in a lot of name calling, cursing, outbursts, yelling, many opportunities to do that. Even name calling, you know, getting into saying, well, you know, Susan over here is a racist. Didn't even do any of that. That will work in your fit. Generally speaking, when we are in a system of racism, white supremacy, they harm black people all the time. So, but generally speaking, if you cannot, and even just from your perspective, because the, in my view, to the degree that you can work to not be emotional, you can really think and process how you want to respond. Even if it's that they've called you a nigger. Okay. You can process. Do I want to get out my recorder? Do I want to ask what should be done with a nigger? What would be the best response right now? Should I repeat what was said? What would be the best response? What is going to help me the most right now? If we can get in that frame of reference more often than not on the job, not from, you know, I'm stunned that this person said that. I can't believe this person said that. And, you know, I'm so upset that they said that. I'm going to say something back to them right now. And how dare you, or any of that, even out of the mode that you need to say anything at all, because sometimes you don't. You can take a few moments of silence to just think, what do I want to do? Racism has been practiced, but I do listen to that Negra Gus T show, so I can't be too surprised about that. What would be the best course of action? And then you proceed from there. Just being able to do that. I was able to do that a few times in this at critical junctures along the way here, which pivotal, not sometimes just not saying anything at all can give a pivotal exchange. I give one more pivotal exchange in all of this. Go to speak to a white woman. Racism, white supremacy has been practiced in a flagrant manner, and it involves a previous Cal's guest, Anna Brown Griswold. You can go back in the archives and hear what she said a year ago at this time, sun, moon, and stars. So I go to inquire. So Anna Brown Griswold gave a presentation here. White woman that I'm speaking to responds and says, Anna Brown Griswold is awesome. Now, Anna Brown Griswold, suspected race soldier, I am not cursing. What? Awesome? What do you mean she's awesome? Do you know what she did? Didn't do any of that. Just made a mental note. Awesome. And question. What do we talk about every week for workplace racism? As regularly as possible, thinking of questions that can be asked. Oh my goodness. That there question. I should be able to report back with detail. What is awesome about Anna Brown Griswold? Question I will be looking forward to having answered. But just being in that state of mind that you're not, you know, I can't say I'm surprised. Am I surprised if I'm listening to Gus T's show and his conclusion about what it means to be white? Can I really say I'm astonished, surprised, taken aback by a white person practicing racism in any way, shape, form? And if I am, was I appropriately suspicious? That is a question I will leave open. Last thing I'll say, sometimes this is workplace racism. I think a part of what is going to happen in this, at least from my perspective, Gus T being hired to do something. Sometimes that should be a part of the repair. This situation, I think, could have went in a lot of different ways. If I had just been emotional and upset, then you're going to apologize and that sort of thing. Focus on if there has been an error, if you have been mistreated, and they do an inquiry. If it's a workplace situation, they do an inquiry, they do an investigation, and it turns out that that is true, then repair from this situation. Very important. Repair. What should be done to repair from this violation? And try to use strong language. What should be done to repair from all of this? Very important. Not apologies, not wallowing in emotion, correcting what has been done wrong, particularly if there has been harm, ahimsa, they call that in the yoga world. But yeah, repair, very important. And then that is the appropriate time to talk about accountability. That's the favorite A word, and people want to talk about coons and no good Negroes that need to be blamed and such. That's not the time to talk about accountability. The time to talk about accountability, workplace, that can be a great time to use the word accountability. If there's evidence that a non-white person has been mistreated, oh, well, then there should be some form of accountability. You know, we want to make things right. What can we do to repair if, you know, there has been harm done? Let's be accountable. Then you can go to town and use that A word as much as possible. In fact, if we have any listeners who have employed that word in a workplace context for constructive means, I would love to hear about it. But that is a prime environment, not talking about and bashing other victims. Workplace. Yes, let's make sure we're being held accountable to policy and procedure and being held accountable if someone has been harmed. Let's make sure that we repair. Number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. And workplace racism, no spectators. You can't be a spectator. Let me give you one more. What an, this 11 days, it has been absolutely historic. Man, we're walking back from yoga. This is, I think, Monday evening, 5 days, 4 days ago. Myself, non-white male, so-called Asian male, walking back from the yoga studio. He knows about this massive incident of racism. I announced it in the middle of class. Racism was practiced against me. And he thanked me for sharing this information. Whites were eavesdropping, I was told, which I've said that consistently. You need to be mindful of that in the workplace and elsewhere. But this Asian male and myself were leaving. And he said about this situation, which I'll give more detail later. He said that he too thought that something was incorrect about it, but he was hesitant to speak up. He said, I'm a non-white male. You know, there are times when I'm uncomfortable in the yoga studio, white dominated environment. I certainly can understand. He said, hey, there are times I'm in the workplace and things are said and I'm not comfortable, but I don't say anything. I said, wow, there is a program on Friday. I did not say that. I generally do not encourage folks to check out the cows just because I think other folks have said it's not always received in a constructive, receptive manner. And I don't know this person very well. I think we'd only talked like once or twice before. So we didn't really have a deep rapport or anything. But wow, that resonated for so many reasons. I feel like I've heard that so many times. And again, Asian male, rather pale Asian male. I'd say he has less pigment than President Obama, just, you know, for scale. But taking the words out of his mouth, times I do not feel comfortable here and on the job. But what are you going to do? What am I going to say? Tune into Workplace Racism and you might figure out one or two things to say. Generally, it would be, what am I going to ask? There were people who wrote in the email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments that you would like to share regarding what's been shared on the program, and or if you have your own problem that you would like counter racist commentary on, just drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com and we will share as we proceed. So one person wrote in. Let me make sure I move my screen over a little bit. Okay. Hey, Gus, I just got fired and would like to ask for your advice on where you or the listeners think I could improve my code or even where I should have implemented a code using the situation I got fired for. Included is the correspondence between my manager and the HR representative. I have worked there almost 3 years. Health-wise, this is a good thing, and I look forward to what's next, but definitely have to be disciplined with my code and developing codes constantly. I don't see the full exchange. I thought it was a PDF exchange, but I don't really... Yeah, there's not really a long... exchange. It's just about an appointment. So there's not enough information for me to read or convey what the situation was or what the correspondence was. It looks like it could be something about an orientation or an appointment, but I'm not sure. So I can't really give out suggestions because I'm not really sure about the situation. I guess if you're listening live, if you could call in with details, or if you could maybe email and give additional information, because all I really have is about an orientation and perhaps a plan to be out, but there's not enough detail for me to explain. If this is, it looks like it could be around something about a missed appointment or maybe a scheduled time off of some sort. For all of that, we've talked about, because that's consistent, where non-white people run into problems with this sort of thing. If it's requested time off or sick leave, or you were supposed to be present for this orientation, but there was some sort of scheduling change and the non-white person wasn't notified, I would try to be very meticulous about any of the planning. If this was something around you had to get time off for an appointment of some sort, that's why I try to advocate getting all of that stuff done way in advance and then having electronic evidence so that it's just an email verification that I was, you know, supposed to be off. I think Stacy in the UK talked before, if this is like a sick leave or personal leave type thing that they reneged on, said you could take the time off and then said you couldn't, and that caused the problem, to be aware of that sort of thing in advance. And if it's scheduled time off, even if it seems like they said you had it and then it comes back that you don't, to don't take the time off if, you know, it's seeming like they haven't approved, because that might be a setup and seems like that's the plan sometimes, to set non-white people up so that they can get in trouble or get fired or, you know, whatever it is. That's it. But if you could maybe give us more details, then I would be willing to share a thought or two about
what may have transpired here, if you did anything wrong. It might not even be that you did anything incorrect. It could just be that they were practicing racism. Next, Sun, Moon, and Stars, my goodness. So this is our caller in VA. Woof, thank goodness I am not there. Who is with us at the VA retreat. Number one, some thoughts on Jane Elliott admitted racist appearance at our campus to speak to students. One word describes her remarks. Uh-oh, doesn't get any better than tacky. The audience was about 95% non-white, mostly black students. I was surprised that more whites did not attend. She started her talk by stating she's racist. She said this about three or four times during her speech. In spite of this, students did not react negatively. She told many jokes and cursed a few times, F this, S that. There was a lot of laughter and guffawing considering the seriousness of the topic. Toward the end, security appeared to block the doors behind her, and police also appeared. At that, I decided it was time for me to leave. The next day, I learned there was a threat made against her via Twitter. She also joked about that, according to a colleague whom I called to fill me in on what happened after I left. I asked the colleague what kind of questions were asked. She replied that a black student asked if he could be racist, to which Jane Elliott replied, yes, you just don't have the power to do anything about it. I was also alarmed that she stated that black people would not harm white people, so white people do not need to be afraid of giving up any power. I've left there completely confused about the ultimate purpose, goal of her visit, other than to pay her honorarium and make fun of black people's mistreatment by whites, practicing racism. And this is exactly a part of what happened with Anna Brown Griswold in my situation. Whites getting paid money to practice racism, white supremacy. I don't know if there was guffawing and F-bombs, but it sounds similar. Number two, white women. Number two, Sun, Moon, and Stars. More incidents by white women managers who practiced racism against me this week. I was forced to discuss two issues that I told them I did not want to discuss because it was clear they were trying to make me react defensively and create an argument. I said the issues were resolved by email and did not need to be discussed. They said it's not resolved and asked me to explain more about the situation. Whatever point I made, they refuted. One manager said that I had raised hell, metaphor, fussed, and was upset when this situation came up. Thanks to what I have learned on this show, I stopped her and repeated the words she used. I said this is a complete miscategorization, and I have never raised hell, fussed, or been upset on the job. I repeated her words so that she would understand how disparaging and rude she was being to describe me in this fashion. Then she apologized and said, okay, she's sorry she said that, and would take that off the table. Another metaphor. This very disturbing meeting took 90 minutes. This morning, I sent a long email follow-up documenting their claims and providing proof that they are wrong. I included a suggestion to add policy and procedure. Come on, let's rewind. I included a suggestion to add policy and procedure that would ensure that this issue does not happen again. Music. Spoken like a prodigy. I love it. Let's make sure we don't have to repeat this again. Put it in the policy and procedure black ink fact. Continuing. Their response was, thank you, and we'll consider your suggestion. Doesn't get. They also wrote a long, detailed recap of the meeting. The final line said, I'm here to be your advocate, and I am invested in your success. Whites being white, practicing racism, being deceptive, terroristic, all week long. Don't forget tacky and hypocritical. Hypocritical. Love the suggestion. I don't know if it would be possible, but in this sort of situation, particularly if it's multiple people, if I'm by myself and there are multiple whites, or even if it's multiple non-white people, or one white person and one non-white person, and I'm being lambasted, this might be one of those situations. If the recorder is a part of your arsenal, like, wow, I would feel more comfortable if I had a record of this meeting. Is everyone comfortable if I record? Like, if it's going to be that serious where I'm raising hell and cutting a fool, that's what I'm being accused. Oh, well, let's get this boop on record so that we'll all be, you know, serious about what we say from this point forward. that we can all be serious about what's going to be said, particularly once accusations are being made. I've said that before, like hairpin trigger. I'll use lots of metaphors since it's not Saturday today. It would be hairpin trigger, like zero tolerance about accusations in the workplace. Like once those accusations start flying, whoa, let's slow everything down. Want to get all this on the record. If I have done something in error, well, then let's make sure we get that corrected right now. And I will review my policy and procedure in depth over the next few days. But if I have been falsely accused, well, then, that is not acceptable due process. Yes. Email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. If folks have suggestions, if you get attacked like that, in a workplace setting, or really, as I said, by whites or non-whites, if you get attacked like that, how to stop the conversation, that might even be one to ask to take a break. Like, wow, this, you know, I've been accused of raising hell. I don't know if I'm Satan. I think I need to take a break. I'm feeling verklempt. I'm going to excuse myself for a moment and compose my thoughts, and maybe we can reconvene. You know, I don't know. But, you know, I just don't like the tone that in fact, the raising hell, that might have been a moment right there where I said, I don't know. The tone that this has taken is bothersome. Raising hell, that's quite an accusation. I'm going to request time to gather my thoughts, to calm down, and maybe we can reconvene at a later date, maybe later in the day, maybe even tomorrow. But this is bothersome. That's kind of a weak word. You can come up with a better one. But yeah, I'm feeling unsettled. I'm not feeling comfortable proceeding, particularly if I've been accused of raising hell. Like, wow. Like, I just don't feel comfortable proceeding right now. And take a break. But I would definitely encourage, if you're feeling attacked like that, to pause. That could be another form of compensatory conversation control, to not allow whites to bully you into talking, because they do that regularly, forcing us to talking about things where we've already said, you know, I'm good. We already resolved this issue. Let's move forward. No. It's not resolved. We got to talk about it. We got to go into detail about it. You raised all this hell for the week to try and make you. Hey, come on. Wow. I'm going to take a few moments to go to the bathroom, and we can reconvene perhaps a little later. But if folks have another suggestion that they think would work without creating new problems, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks wrote in. We will read their commentary as we proceed. *61, if folks dialed in, if you have a commentary you would like to share, line should be open. Proceed. While folks are taking a moment to get it together, the number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. For sure, this has been an exhausting week, most of them are, on the plantation. We are not doing 3 hours today. 2 hours, if folks are not spectating now, if folks are going to lollygag and all that, then, you know, we might not hang out for 2 hours. But no lollygagging. If everyone had a perfect week on the plantation, your spring has just been marvelous. The racists have, I guess, been on vacation or watching the NCAA tournament. or anything other than mistreating the niggers on the job, then spectacular. Invest in the cows, racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. New PayPal account as of earlier this year. But it is linked button at the top of the blog, top right corner of the blog. But I find it hard to believe in between hoops action and enjoying the spring that they have not made time to mistreat a few non-white people in the workplace area. So even if it's not you directly, I'm sure there are things to comment on and report. I will share, see if I can get in one of our other workplace racism reports while people are gathering their thoughts. Let's see. Kizzy's cousin. Let's see. All right. It's been a tough week on the plantation. I did my interview last week and found out today that I was unsuccessful. Might be more accurate to say that racists were successful. I'm under constant attack at my current job, so I was hoping to get out. Also, this would have been a good move for me career-wise. I'm pleased that I went for the interview. We are as well. My confidence was so low due to the abuse on the job. I've taken acting and interview technique classes. I didn't even know they had such a thing. Not interested in acting, but wanted to get out of my comfort zone. There is a level of performance required for interviews. Sad truth is, I never felt the need in the past, which says something about the abuse I was and still am subjected to. Summary of racist activity for the week. I mentioned last week that a racist female did not reschedule a meeting that she was supposed to, so I had to get my race soldier manager to address the matter. She also messed up another one the week before by not inviting everyone who needed to be at the meeting. I picked up the error and sent the information to the relevant people. Two other suspected racists, one of them, I'll call her Vicky, was at the event I ran on Monday. The invites went out in February, and I told Vicky to extend the invite to her colleague, I'll call her Sue. She did not. I sent a reminder last Friday and asked everyone attending to confirm the details for their guests. It was only at this point that Vicky notified Sue about the event. Sue could not attend as it was short notice. Like any good race soldier, Sue determined that the error was mine as well as the mess up with the previous meeting. She sent me not one, not two, but three terse. Oh, say, I thought she said three. She sent me a terse email about the meeting before, about the meeting being short notice and that she wants the dates for future meetings. I decided not to reply straight away as I was annoyed. Uh-oh, that sounds like something I just said. That is a fabulous technique at times. And again, that does take some discipline. It can, I mean, sometimes your reflex can get the best of you, especially if it's an in-person, like a verbal type thing, and somebody says something to you and, you know, you just want to respond immediately. Sometimes it's a what they call saving face, another metaphor, where you don't want to be embarrassed or humiliated, you know, publicly. But thankfully, a lot of times with email, you can have a little bit more thought before you tap the send button. So if you're upset, it at same thing I just said, those accusations on the job, take that very seriously. I feel you. Those false accusations are very infuriating. Pause. That could be another one. You can take a bathroom break, run outside, do some breathing exercises, whatever it is. And then you calm down and you just go about your code for how you deal with, you know, false accusations. The next day, my manager mentioned the email to me, which surprised me because I didn't think she had been copied into the email, which I said to her. I then explained that I had asked Vicky to extend the invite to Monday's meeting a month prior, which she knew was the case, and that Sue's annoyance is due to the mess up with the previous meeting, which she did not query, as she is protecting the race soldier who messed up the arrangements. When I got back to the desk, I checked the email to see if my manager was copied in. Sue had obviously blind copied her into the email, and my manager had slipped off code and made me aware. Blame a nigger. At the event on Monday, new report. At the event on Monday, my manager and a race soldier male presented. He is less senior than me, and I am the project lead. There was a table for panelists at the front of the room. He positioned himself in the center before people arrived. When he got up to get some coffee, I made sure to sit in the seat. He looked perturbed when he returned, but said nothing. Usurp a nigger. I love it. I love it. I love it. Standard operating procedure. Kudos. That is black self-respect. I think Dr. Welsing would be super proud about that. That takes lots of black self-respect to snatch a race soldier's seat after he's gone for a coffee break. Welsing moment indeed. But be mindful of that, because race soldiers do that sort of thing deliberately when they know this here nigger is supposed to be in charge. Maybe she's the boss, senior, at least, you know, whatever this situation is for this, you know, 30 minutes, for this 10 minutes, we're supposed to pretend that this nigger is in charge. I can't even do that. I can't even do that. The racism won't even, like, I'm going to sit in this nigger's chair. That's what I'll do. I'll put myself in the center, so at least it looks like I'm in charge. We'll be back to what it's supposed to be. Like, they do these sort of things on a regular. I just said that. We had a white man on the program who admitted that he did this exact sort of thing. That it was the exact scenario. It was a black female that was supposed to be in charge. And he just, oh, no, this nigger is not in charge. Let me get up here and I'm the white man. I'm supposed to be in charge. And then she said something about it. Oh, yes, I'll go. Yes. Let the nigger run things. Black self-respect to call that out when it happens. Or in this case, I guess she didn't even call it out directly. Just, I'll go take my rightful seat since I'm supposed to be in charge. Usurp a nigger, indeed. The email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary to share, line should be open. Proceed.
May I be heard?
May I be? Oh, you can go ahead.
Thank you. Greetings, Seth, and greetings to, I believe that was the caller in Florida who let me go, and for to all the callers on the line. Gus, did you say you were sick and that's why you was in bed all day?
Not sick. I did say I was in bed all day, but just exhausted from all of the stress and expenditure of energy, having to talk about white supremacy racism and having to talk with suspected racists about this event, and having the trauma from the victimization from last year, because this event is like directly linked to that, like directly as, you know, as direct can be. So that has been stressful as well. It's just been very, very stressful, exhausting for a plethora of reasons because of direct racist assault.
Okay, well, I hope you get, just some rest and some remedy for your stress, just some relief. I wanted to say that, I know you probably know this already, but, like, some other people, like, when I asked if you were leaving and I was concerned, like, some people, they hit me up and they was like, you know, thank you for asking him that, because I was worried about that too.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I suspect that there are thousands of people who don't want this program to end. And, you know, that might be a bit of a burden to you, you know, because you're just one person. But this program is just helpful to a lot of people. I also wanted to ask, didn't Anna Brown Griswold, isn't she an admitted racist as opposed to just a suspected racist?
Yeah, man, I said I have got to go back and listen to that archive. That program program has become substantially more important a year from, you know, when we did it, as well as the broadcast White Terrorism on the Mat, where the white woman kicked me. But I said I think she admitted to being a
a racist. Like, if that is the case, like, oh my God, like, woof. Upgrade the language significantly when we go back to the talks. But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to just go look at the description, because I think it would be in the description for the program.
I'm almost positive, because when I asked a long time ago, how do you respond to whites who are nice to you, you said that she was an admitted racist, even though she was paying the tab for you to do yoga. And at first you said that she was a suspected racist, and then you stopped yourself and you said, oh no, she admitted, but yet she's still paying the tab. But as far as one of the persons who called in who was fired, if you go, angellist.co, not .com, .co, might be a helpful place to search for a job, as well as, I believe it's indeed.com. I believe it was last week, someone shared that some victims, like I believe it was some black people, they were standing around and they were saying nigger, and there was a white male who was around, and they said it in front of him. And the person said that when they observed this, that they were embarrassed. Well, the interesting thing is that I can understand that, but that is not the correct response. And that's exactly what white people want. That's exactly what that white male wanted. Because if you are embarrassed that these victims are saying the word nigger and things like that around him, that means that you blame the victims. You don't blame that white male that was standing there. You don't blame white people in general. They are responsible for that word, and they are responsible for conditioning victims to believe that that's what they are, and to, how can I put this, to embrace that term, I'll put it that way. And that is not something that is new. People often embrace their stigmas as just really a form of giving up on the verbal abuse that they encounter. For an example, you've had a long time ago when women in general were called wenches. You had white females saying, you know, I'm your wench. Today you have homosexuals calling themselves fags. You have white people calling themselves white trash. You have women calling themselves the B word and all those different things. And so when it comes to a situation like that, I look at that situation and I'm upset, not with those victims at all. I'm upset with that race soldier who was standing there, because what he should have done to show that he's not a race soldier, what he should have done is he should have apologized and said, you know, I'm sorry that we have conditioned you all to talk like this and to think that, you know, this is okay, and to embrace this abuse that we have put on you. Because I used to do the same thing as well. Men, particularly black men, were niggers to me. That was their name. And it wasn't meant to be an insult, but it was like, women are women and men are niggers, and especially black men. And that's what black people tend to refer to black men as, more so than they do black women. It's more so directed at black men. And that is the fault of white people who have conditioned us to embrace that term by paying celebrities a lot of money to say those types of things. And then you want to imitate what you see on TV, which everyone does, of all groups, they imitate what they see on TV. And so that's a part of the way, one of the most strongest ways that they have conditioned us to do anything that we do. And I'm almost done. I wanted to share one more thing that's very similar. It's workplace racism, but it was not against me, but it was against someone else. And I observed it in a grocery store. And what happened was, we were in the grocery store, and the cashier, black woman, she was checking everyone out. And this race soldier, this male, this white male, he was after me. I was almost leaving. And he said to her, no Halle Berry today, because apparently he was referring to her hair. And apparently she had her hair, she must have had it in the past shorter. And then this time it was longer. And what she started to do is she started to explain to him, you know, no, I'm doing something different because of this, that, or the other. And of course, me being less confused than I was, I wouldn't have explained that to him. I wouldn't have answered him or any of that. And of course, they probably had a prior conversation about her hair when it was shorter, whatever hairstyle that she had. But when I observed that situation, I was very angry at him. And what most people will do is that, because we have been conditioned to just blame ourselves, we'll be upset at that woman. We'll be upset at her that she was explaining these things to him and all of those types of things to this white male. I was very angry at him that he was mistreating her and that she was being mistreated and that he was practicing racism on her and she didn't realize it because, and I'm almost done, I had a very similar situation where it was probably a year ago, a year and a half ago, where someone had complimented my hair, a black person had complimented my hair, and then a white person began to interrogate me about my hair and ask me how long it took and all of that. And this person was just practicing racism. And they gave some elaborate guess in terms of how long it was, and I got upset. And I was like, no, and I explained how long that it was, and then so they was like, oh, just a little bit of time or whatever. And I was like, yeah. The interesting thing about that is that I had been following this program probably a year before that. So if I had not been listening to this program, I would not have caught it. Now, I did catch it late. So sometime that day, I realized that that person was practicing racism. If I had realized it in the moment, I would not have answered that person's question. I wouldn't have entertained them about how long it took to do my hair or whatever the case may be. But I caught it sometime that day, but I didn't catch it in the moment. So the point is that white people, they do, I guess, mistreat you when you don't know what's going on. And this could happen to anybody, even people who are, you know, less confused than they were, like I was in that situation. That just like that woman in that grocery store, I didn't catch it right away either. So just because she was explaining all that to him or whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean she was more confused. That could just mean she just didn't catch it in the moment. And maybe she is a person who is less confused, and maybe later on that day she figured it out. You never know. But the whole point is, and I'm almost done, the whole point is that we don't need to get upset with each other for being victimized. We need to be sympathetic toward each other and compassionate toward each other and feel sorry for one another for what these race soldiers do to us. And that was it. I'll mute my line. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Seth.
Context of white supremacy. My apologies for snickering. Yes, the yoga plantation, or excuse me, the yoga studio is on the plantation. So, yeah, there is no real escape. Woo! If anything, there will just be lots more interesting things to report from a whole different perspective. But yeah, no escape from race soldiers. And again, the alignment is extraordinary. I think Anna Brown Griswold did admit to being a racist. Well, hopefully she'll be back on in a few days so we can ask her again to confirm. But the point about whites being nice, I remember you asked about that, and that came up in the situation that has me fatigued at the end of this week, because this also involved a suspected racist who has been nice. And I thought the same thing the whole time through. This is why I said at the beginning, code means no half-stepping. Code means this is what it is. If you have a code, that means this is what you do. This is how you approach that procedure. This is how you approach that problem every time. It's not, well, I have a code, but then on Tuesdays or, you know, every November 1st or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's got to be consistent. That's one of the, in my view, that's one of the characteristics of racists. They are consistent with their practice of racism, white supremacy. We victims have to be consistent with our practice of counter
racism. And I think that goes because you certainly will bump into some racists who can be kind, jovial, humorous, whole nine. Easy to do that when you've been terrorizing folks and stolen everything. You might bump into that, might bump into it regularly, depending on which part of the world you are, where you happen to be at. But you still need to have extraordinary suspicion and just be prepared that this is a race soldier. So, you know, the terrorism and or the tackiness will be coming. Might take a day, might take a week, but it will be coming. Be prepared. And that served me well in this instance. And in fact, what you can do, you can have experiments. You can say, well, hey, this person shouldn't be racist. Let's see how they respond in this situation if they are not racist. And let's see what happens. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, I think our caller in Florida spoke up simultaneously. Thank you for yielding, sir.
Yes, sir. May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. And I wanted to also say that I'm glad that you were able to get. Well, I don't know. Was it? Do you think that was a substantial amount of rest that you got today, Gus? Or do you think you may need even more rest or more self care to partake in? Or?
It would be more self care. It's been pretty exhausting. I'm just comparing it to the same thing happened this time last year. So then I think it needed about 4 days of just rest and recoup, and then I was kind of back ready to roll. So maybe another 2 days and I'll be ready to roll.
Nice. That sounds good. I just had a few incidents I wanted to report. I did, Gus, I sent you the images from the local newspaper website, the one of the judges that just had an event. And, you know, I definitely congratulated her again, but I definitely think that racism is going to play a major part in the early on and just her career in general. She had the assistant is another black female, so it's a very good sight to see. My next one is I was downstairs and there was a customer that came. And my black female coworker, she says the guy's first, middle, and last name. So she gets up to go give him a hug or whatever. So they were saying, well, you know, I haven't seen you in so long. And, you know, I guess they were just saying, you know, what each other's been up to. And before he left, she asked him if he had any children. No. He asked her. If she asked, says, yeah, you know, I got three children. And he says, after she asked him, well, what about you? And he says, I have two blonde haired, blue eyed children. That's how he said it. He didn't say, I have two children. He went Aryan. I don't know. It might be a metaphor, but he described the phenotypes. Now, he didn't even have to say that, but he wanted to make sure, like, hey, you know, I might have just hugged you and everything, but don't get the wrong idea. I reproduced two more white individuals, brought them into the world. So, you know, he left, and, you know, I wanted to remember that one. My next one is the J.A., the white J.A. She has these images. At least three people who I guess they are on the wanted list or whatever to be on the lookout for. And two of them are black males. I spoke on this last week. And one of them in the middle is a white man. So I wanted to mention this again because the black male she's been more concerned about. But she said he hadn't been threatening. He you know, nothing he said or any behavior he displayed was necessarily threatened, or air quotes. It was, he just gave me a scary vibe. She used the word scary vibe. And, you know, they, I just want the security to be on the lookout for him. But she says, for the white guy, this guy threatened two of the judges. And he drove down to the courthouse one day, and I guess they found out that he had firearms, and they told him to stand down or whatever. And he says, well, you know, you can take my guns away and everything like that, but I still know how to make bombs. So I'm like, that's way more of a greater terroristic threat. So why we don't have his image plastered, broadcasted on our emails and, you know, all over the building, but you concerned about this guy who wasn't even perceived as a threat to you. And then obviously the answer is the person is black. You know, that says a lot. But you're not concerned about the white guy who says he knows how to make bombs. Okay. My next one is, there was an assignment that the black female manager that's in my department area or in the department area, she made a comment, or she told the two of us, it's three of us that's in the front area. So after the white coworker left, she said, well, you know, I just got to just say this right now. Got to make sure we're doing the project, because it's like this project where we're trying to convert old microfiche images to the computer or whatever, you know, and you're going to have your sheet and you're going to make sure you're doing the project, this and this and that. And I'm not going to police you. She said the word police. I'm not going to police you. I'm going to make sure that, you know, once enough time goes by, you'll pull out your sheet and you'll just show if you've been doing the assignment, or if you've been doing the project. And she just sounded very, I guess, like aggressive in a way, like she was directing it at a certain person. But they'll use the generality method, what they'll just say it to everybody. But you don't mean everybody when you say it. All right, so that happened last Friday. And all this week, I've been just being very productive on the project. And I hadn't heard any more comments except for, oh, wow, it looks like you're really kicking out those sheets. You know, so I said, yeah, I'm just trying to get the work done. So what I noticed is that the other two coworkers are trying to do it as well. And clearly I'm getting more of the work done. But I think that was a strategy developed by race soldiers, one of the wardens, male warden, to act through the black female. All right, so I've been mainly displaying some nonverbals in that regard, because I hadn't had any really no conflict with her, even though I suspect they've been getting her to mistreat me, or they've influenced her, because that's what they do to us. You know, it's unfortunate. So I hadn't really been as talkative or really interacting with her, unless it's on a work-related basis. But I think that was done for me to react in an enraged manner, and I didn't show them that. So they kind of just remained like in a normal way, or they kind of somewhat backed off, like they didn't have that intent. Because I keep seeing, you know, the race soldier, and he just, at times he'll speak, like you mentioned before, how they'll be nice sometimes, and then other times they'll just keep walking. My last one is the white woman. I hadn't really heard an update on who told the lie about being in court, but there's two more things with her. Like, I also heard from another source that another black female that was excellent in going to court, and she was always requested by the white judge, the white girl started making mistakes, very crucial mistakes. And before she started going to court, she started crying in order to get her way to get another supervisor to advise against the black female to stop going to court and gave the white girl the legitimacy to start being trained. So, you know, apparently she's been getting her way or whatever. And it's being reported that she is in a Area 8 situation with some of the guards and whatnot. So it's total racist chaos, I guess you could say. That's all that I have to share right now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Wow. The courthouse, going down at the courthouse. Do you have any tips? Because I thought that was important, where the warden's trying to instigate conflict between you and the non-white female on how you, I guess, remain patient. I think you said you kind of just keep things focused on what's happening in the workplace and no, you know, unnecessary chit chat, kind of minimizing unnecessary contact. Any tips on keeping patience so that you don't get frustrated with her?
I would just recommend if it has something to do with, I guess, completing an assignment or something work related, I would just try to stay focused on the assignment and the social aspect. You can just keep it to maybe like a greeting or when you're parting away, maybe about to go to lunch. Well, I'll be back. I'm going to lunch. Then you can say I'm back from lunch, about to get started on the work. And I would just start from something maybe on that level, I guess. I guess it depends on what the person's workplace environment is like, because we only have one white person. It's me, two black females, and one white woman.
Excellent suggestions. Just stay focused on the task at hand, minimize the social, and I think, or at least for me, I think also keep it in mind who is most to blame for these types of things, because I think it's tons of situations where whites have instigated the conflict. Like you said, some white person may have told her to use that language specifically about policing, you know, with getting all of it done, you know, make sure you say it exactly this way, or what have you. You just never know in the workplace. So I think it's always best. I'm going to minimize conflict, minimize contact if I have to. And to keep in mind that racists are probably doing some things. They do not want to see us getting along well, harmoniously in the workplace. I'm not surprised at all. The white man talking about his beautiful melanin deficient blue eyed children. Putting emphasis on that even after the warm embrace. The Wanted poster, also another great illustration, not surprising that the emphasis would be on this, you know, bad black male, while you got a white guy bragging about his bomb-making capability and threatening judges. They had that white man who came in before with a cell phone that was violating rules, and he was roaming around the premises, and they didn't do anything about him either, which just, again, being white in the system, being classified as white in the system of racism, white supremacy, the rules do not apply. You can terrorize and violate rules, even on the courthouse. I thought that was supposed to be, you know, protected ground, but no matter. I'm white. Do what I want. Black people that work here struggle to be treated, you know, with any respect. I think you've given incidents where the deputies aren't even talking to you as a respected colleague. And you got whites walking around who are threatening to bomb the courthouse. System of white supremacy. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. I'm sure the newly elected judge you referenced, I'm sure she will be catching it as well. Saw the messages earlier in the week. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Folks who dialed in, that we've not heard from at all. If you have commentary to share, lines should be open. Proceed. We have our spectators in for the Friday evening. Again, I hope that means that everyone is having at least the early portion of their spring, a minimal amount of workplace degradation and abuse. That should, however, mean that you still are sharpening, working on your own counter-racist code, which would include policy, procedure, non-verbals as well. I think that was mentioned from our caller down in Florida, which can be important with non-whites. I know we talk about that a lot with whites. That can be important for victims as well, because, you know, I'm not that. I get frustrated with other victims at times. So that might be something to be mindful about in the workplace. If we think some of our frustration with other victims might be written on our face, as they say, to be mindful of that. If we're doing any eye rolling or any other gestures where maybe we're not name calling per se, but we are conveying some discourtesy with perhaps some of our looks, gestures, that sort of thing. We can be mindful of that. And I think always looking for a way where we can employ Mr. Edward Williams' suggestion about maybe this person needs some help. Can we help this person? Where you get to ask a question as well. I think that's phenomenal, especially if the person in question is non-white. Phenomenal. Excellent question to ask. And I suspect would radically shift the tone of a lot of conversations that are not headed in a direction that is about providing help, especially help to another non-white person. I did want to say also, the video, I think, is attached at Facebook. Speaking of illustrations of white supremacy, they had a lawsuit where two white people, they won a little less than $100,000 apiece. And that's not even including the fees that their, you know, attorneys got and everything. But they won a little less than $100,000. And they accused, this was at a school, high school, they accused the high school principal, who happened to be a black male. The two plaintiffs were suspected racists, one white male, one white female. And so they accused this high school principal, who's a black male, they accused him of racism. Said he made derogatory slurs, racial slurs, against others at the high school and blocked their promotion. I was stunned. I went to get more details because I wanted to see what type of racial slurs was he using. I mean, what was he calling people? How was he doing this? Like, they didn't have enough detail, but they gave them this big cash settlement. I don't even think this the former principal, I don't even think he has the job anymore. But I thought, wow, what another illustration of white supremacy. I have to play the audio segment during the compensatory call in tomorrow. But I saw it just before we went live today. It was staggering. If anything, I think I've said pretty consistently to make sure if you are a victim of racism, you are not using any sort of racial slurs, even in reference to other non-white people and, you know, all that, you know, hey, what's up, nigger, and that sort of thing. Even if you, you know, are talking to other non-white people, that, you know, you really want to make an effort to be as professional in your demeanor as possible. Not to mention, when you engage in that sort of behavior on the job, racists, they might say, well, hey, that'll become my excuse that, you know, hey, I thought we were all just having fun and messing around. I thought we were all friends. They talk like that. That'll just be their tacky, convenient, you know, excuse for whatever they want to do. So my two cents on that. Again, we are definitely not doing full 3 hours. It has been an absolutely exhausting 11 days. Racism, white supremacy, non-stop. Why, I will say, use logic. Oh, it is so wonderful when you can use logic and have whites and non-whites following logic. White supremacy racism was practiced, and white people are not ignorant about racism, saying the same way. It was just like, you know, constant cows broadcasts from the yoga studio, which hopefully we can see if we can make that happen as well. 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks have commentary they wanted to share. We have 30 minutes. We're going to do 2 hours, perhaps. Other folks have commentary that they would like to share.
I guess I have a question.
Let's hear it.
I think you said, or did you say that regarding the racism that was practiced against you, that they wanted to have a meeting with you about it? And if that's true, are you considering reconsidering leaving that yoga studio depending on how the meeting goes?
Well, I canceled my membership already. So, you know, at this point, it would just be if I was going to be returning, how so? I mean, white people, they have lots of resources. These are white. I mean, they have a yoga studio, multiple yoga studios. So, yeah, they have resources. If they wanted me to practice there, I'm sure they could work that out so that I could come back and practice for free if I wanted, or what have you. But, you know, it was such a monumental act of white supremacy racism that it would require quite a bit of repair. So the meeting, it would have to be, you know, let's make sure that we truthfully acknowledge and are accountable. There it is again. are accountable for all the myriad ways that white supremacy was practiced against me and other non-whites in this incident, or incidents really. And then what would be appropriate repair for all of that. So if that's reasonable, then hey, great, we can proceed. And there's some evidence that they would be open to that. So whoopee, it will be grand. If they do the correct thing and do the repairs, then whoopee, more yoga. And yeah, this will all be workplace racism, because that would mean Gus would be hired to do something. So whoopee.
Did Anna Brown Griswold, did she know that you were there? Do you think that's why she came?
You know, those details will come out. As I said, hopefully she'll be on the program again sometime in the next few days. You know, she may have known. I generally say it's white people in a system of racism, white supremacy, they get information, and white people, especially, I mean, we talk about that all the time. White people on the job, they network, they're talking to each other, texting each other, even when they're not on the job and such. And so that's certainly the case in the white yoga community. These folks know each other and hanging out together. So, and it's not like there's a whole lot of niggers at the yoga studio in Seattle or anywhere else for that matter. So she certainly could have known, and all of this could have been a deliberate act of racism. Maybe she didn't know. Who's to say? Either, and all that, you know, doesn't even matter really at the end of the day. For me, the only reason it matters is I will be pointing out that if I had not been here, this would not have been an acknowledged, like unanimously acknowledged act of white supremacy racism. Every white person that I've talked to about this incident, when I've labeled it an act of white supremacy racism, they've agreed. So it would not be a unanimously accepted incident of white supremacy if they did not have at least one nigger at the yoga studio. And that's why Sun, Moon, and Stars, to have one nigger at the yoga studio, and the one nigger there has worn a shirt to class about 550 times that says, "Please treat me like I am a white person." Whew. More to come. Hopefully Anna Brown Griswold will be able to answer your question directly.
Okay, thank you.
Whites must be behaving. spring, warmer weather, a little bit of sunshine. Apparently, racists are not mistreating non-white people in their workplace in the springtime. I'm so glad to hear that. I hope it continues. I would be alert. Do not get comfortable and think that this the era of good feeling of 2019 will continue. April is right around the corner. I suspect the terrorism will be right there alongside with the Easter Bunny. I think Easter is next month. I don't do all the holidays. Let's see. I'll be sure to keep an eye on the email since we still have about 25 minutes, maybe a little less left in the program. So if you have commentary you would like to write in, if you're concerned about your voice being detected, untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. And we'll read if you have a comment or suggestion as well. I can also add in terms of the taking things personal, I would say as best you can, because I mean, wow, this is certainly a situation that Gus could have taken personally. As best you can, try not to take things personal. Understanding that racists, I mean, they just mistreat niggers, period. That's just what they do. So is Mr. Fuller says, like, really processing that. It might even be one that you have to think on for a little while. But it really is. It's just business. You have your job that you're doing. And then counter-racism is also business in just in terms of functioning and really trying to get the best result for yourself, solving problems without creating new problems, really having that at the forefront. I think that can go a long way to halting some of the kind of knee-jerk, another metaphor, responses that often just don't help us. You know, when we can kind of get there, sometimes it's difficult to get out of that emotional way of thinking about the problem. And sometimes you don't want or you won't benefit necessarily from an emotional processing of a situation. Sometimes you, or I would say, or in our situation, like 9 times or 10 times out of 9, that's the way I meant to say it, we want to use a very logical means of processing what is happening here and what should be done. And what should I be saying? What should I be asking in this situation to solve problems without creating new problems? Let's see. Another participant from our Virginia retreat, non-Clemson grad. Very good to hear from you, sir. If you had commentary, proceed.
Hello, everyone. I hope you are doing your best under a system of racism and white supremacy. All right, so I have a couple of things. Some of them are just sparse stories separated from my final workplace racism story, which just happened today. First one is, a couple weeks ago, me and my wife were at the laundromat, and I walked in, and what I perceived to be a homeless black man asked me for money, to which I simply said no. Maybe I'm a mean person, I do not know. But interestingly enough, there was a white man in the laundromat as well, too, and when I said no, and he responded, why don't you go buy him, give him money or buy him lunch? To which I responded to the white man, why don't you go get him something to eat? I really wish I would have put that in the form of a question instead. Next story, IUDs. So recently, we went to go visit a friend in a neighboring county. And recently, she just celebrated her daughter's, I think, first birthday. And it turned out that the reason her daughter was even born was because the IUD that she had implanted had failed. This was interesting, too, because fortunately, I just finished reading Medical Apartheid, and IUDs is one of those birth controls that have an effect on a female's hormones. When this friend of mine, when she got it implanted, she said that they did not even numb her, that they just put it in. And then she had to pull over when she drove away from the doctor because she was in so much pain. And then when she went for one of her checkups before she found out she was pregnant, her doctor went in and simply just found that the IUD was incorrectly placed, at which point she requested the morning after pill. But the doctor didn't think she was pregnant. She proceeded with the morning after pill anyways, but she was still pregnant and her daughter is now 1 year old. I found that interesting because a couple months ago, my mother told me that I was an IUD baby. Also, her grandmother at that same evening, after having a couple of conversations, she said to me, because of some of the things I was saying and some of the things I was quoting and referencing, that I read too much. That was sad. That personally hurt because it reminded me back in my school days when I would do my schoolwork and I would get made fun of. Next story. Now we're up to workplace racism. About a day ago, I went into the office of a coworker who had recently been promoted to manager, a black male, because we were both working on our engineering license, and he's become so busy that he hasn't been able to practice the way I would prefer him to. Nevertheless, I came across a free resource that I felt he needed to enroll in because it was an 8-hour course sponsored by Georgia Tech, and I feel it's been working and been very helpful to me. Still got a ways to go, but very helpful. On the way into his office, the door was locked, so his secretary opened the door. And she said, when I walked in, she said to me, because it was near closing, near 5 p.m., only riffraff open, come into the office at this time, to which I asked her, what is the definition of riffraff? To which she defined it, people who come into the office late. I don't think she planned on me asking about the definition of riffraff. Now, for the true story of workplace racism, I remember a couple of months ago, I reported that I wanted to get promoted in my position, as currently I work as a transit planner in a county where I live. And I complained about failing a planning certification exam 2 times before passing the third time. Before the third time when I passed, I asked my manager, why isn't there a principal planner in my department? And for what she said, a whole bunch of stuff that seemed incorrect to me at the time, but I didn't think too much about it at the time, other than the person who originally got the position was hired as a principal planner who didn't show up, and then I was moved to the position laterally, and the pay scale was lowered. So fast forward to this debate today, which is a culmination of things that have happened in my county where I live over the last couple of weeks. So the EMS department of Greenville County were recently complaining about the horrible work conditions as EMS workers, long shifts, horrible work conditions, stressful conditions, etc. I'm not really sure about too many black EMTs, but mostly white as far as I know, or all white for that matter. And along with the pay, recently this came up as a really, it became an embarrassing situation for the county, so much so that it ended up in the local news in our region. And what happened was the county and the county council coalesced, and they decided that they were going to hire new management, give management of EMS over to the local hospital system, along with hiring more EMS workers. And this comes under the same situation. This also happened alongside the fact that the county administrator, who was in charge of evaluating the directives of all the different departments for the county, has not been conducting his director's reviews annually for like almost the last decade, since like 2011, I believe. And when I first got to the county in 2014, his pay was $192,000. His pay before his contract got rejected by the courts because it was found to be illegal was $363,000. And also the county attorney's contract was found to be illegal as well, too, and it needed to be redone. So it got redone. Nobody got fired for that. Not no harm, no foul, right? But interestingly enough, it also caused a review of every position in Greenville County, something that hadn't happened in 20 years. So I got my position review today from my director, the boss of my boss, and it said that me as the transit planner, grants manager, that my position is a principal planner position. I was a little confused by that. Not too long ago, I requested or asked of my manager, why isn't there a principal planner? And he gave me a whole bunch of, well, buckets and buckets of words about why there isn't a principal planner in the department. And here we have a situation where I'm asked to sign off on my the description of my work responsibilities, and my position is that of a principal planner. Personally, I thought the way I was led to believe, I thought I was on the same level as the planner. The woman who I work alongside, she's a transportation planner, I'm the transit planner, I'm branch manager, I thought we were all just working on the same level. But it appears to be that I am the principal planet, which would mean I'm also above her level, which is a little confusing to me. So now I have to think about what I'm going to do, because I have to sign up on this. I have to sign off on this description. And here we have a situation where the description does not match what I was led to believe about my position, which also means I also haven't been getting paid as a principal planner as well, too, because I believe principal planners make $6,000 more than the regular planners. And also in the evaluation, it said that I went from planner and was promoted to principal planner. And after the conversation with my manager, I went from planner to planner in a different department. So I will have to think about how I'm going to approach my situation, because I have to hand in that job description by the end of Monday. With that, I will mute my line.
Wow. That is fascinating. We will be waiting for the update on, I guess, how you proceed with that. That is so crafty. Whites have a variety of ways of concealing information. We talk about that all the time. To slip that by, that, oh yeah, principal planner, the pay discrepancy, it's so many things, and seeming like they're not even wanting to acknowledge that, oh yes, this, the riffraff here is actually the in charge, in a higher position than this white woman here. Like, wow. I'm super eager to hear how that's going to be resolved. I too would be reluctant to sign off on a form, especially if you've been asking, like, why don't we have a principal planner? Like, why don't we have this? Why don't we have this? And then you get this form, like, yeah, I would have some questions to ask, lots of questions, salary questions, lots of questions. Wow. Excellent job with the question about the riffraff. I thought even, why don't you buy him a sandwich? I thought that was a question as well, but I guess you can update us about what happens if they compensate you, say, yeah, there's supposed to be a pay grade, or give at least a reasonable non-racist explanation for the description. And yeah, I guess valedictorian, you could have let them know that too. Like, excuse me, riffraff, I'm a valedictorian, man. Get your information together. Check my resume, please. Other folks, if you all have comments, suggestions on what has been shared, much obliged from non-Clemson grad and folks who've shared. Other folks have any comments they want to make sure they get in?
I just want to say I hope that everybody, who all the callers on the line and those who are listening, have as good a weekend as they can in a system of white supremacy, except for the race soldiers who are listening. I'll meet my line.
Dig it. Dig it. I will again encourage folks the ritual. We talked about that last week. I think that can be helpful as well, because that is a part of the strategy I used this week. Thinking in advance. Now, on the spectrum of things that could be said and how might I respond. Now, even within that, I did not think in going into question about Anne Brown Griswold that the response would be, she's awesome. That was not in my spectrum, but okay, no problem. I had already thought about a few things. Take that one in stride too and keep rolling. I think that can really serve you well to not be rigid. I think Mr. Fuller has talked about it and using that specific language where you're not rigid. You can just kind of take whatever is said. You're not too upset about it. It's not like you expected brotherhood and sisterhood anyway. So, you know, you came appropriately prepared for what was going to be delivered. Ooh. Let's see. We have about 10 minutes, last 10 minutes, if folks have questions, comments, counter-racist suggestions for the workplace that they would like to share. We should be here tomorrow. Compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We should have Dr. Jerome Fox. Should be with us, I think it's Wednesday, April 3rd. He should be on the broadcast. Hopefully I'll be rejuvenated by then. But that should be next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
workplace racism, I think, will come up there because he does talk about the workplace in his book as well. His book is called Addicted to Whites. Any other folks with comments, questions they wanted to share?
Oh, that's if somebody's gonna come in. I don't think that you are doing anything incorrect. Oh, I didn't think that you did anything incorrect when you laughed about people being, I guess, concerned with you leaving, because apparently, you know, yoga has been pretty tough, even though it has, you know, yielded a lot of positive results for you in terms of weight loss and feeling better and things of that nature. You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, I know that you've been doing this a long time, but you would still think that given that this problem hasn't been solved and, you know, victims don't exactly, I guess, implement the code that you promote on here all the time, especially with regard to sympathy for other victims, that you would think that even now, I know that, you know, given that you've done it for so long, you probably are used to certain things, but you would think that it's the way that we act sometimes still gets on your nerves, and you still have moments, at least, you know, where you want to give up for any reason, whether it be yoga or any other thing. So I guess I'm saying that to say, what do you think about that? Like, do you still, you know, feel like that sometimes?
I think Mr. Fuller said some years ago, you know, it's not compensatory call-in. We're sitting on the slave ship. So, you know, we've been trying to escape and we failed. And we try again and we fail. Saturday comes, we try again and we fail. We get thrown back down. And that also, here we are, it's Friday. Now, I could take that position that, you know, I'm tired. Y'all are coons. And it's not going to work and I'm done. All right. Well, we're still on the slave ship. So, we could quit and just say the hell with it, or we'll get up and try again tomorrow. That's it's not like you have a whole lot of alternatives while we're still on the plantation. So, try to make the best of a bad situation and take the most logical choice that has some element of Black self-respect with it, along with the belief that this problem can be solved. Unless you don't think it can be solved. Now, I mean, if it gets to that point, then that's another discussion. But yeah, I think this problem can be solved. So we'll try again tomorrow.
I'm very relieved to hear you say that. And as I said before, I think that, you know, the victims, those of us who listen to this show and call in and onto this program and call in and things like that. Like we definitely don't want you to give up, but we definitely don't want the program to end. But thank you again just for even having this program. It's extremely beneficial and extremely helpful. I mute my line.
Hope it's worthy of your time and energy. Really, it's, you know, solve the problem and workplace racism, especially, like, solve the problem and having a code. That's why I've said consistently, I think workplace racism is important, because if you don't understand racism, everything else will only confuse you. And if you don't have a code, man, you're going to be totally destroyed and distraught in the workplace. And if anything, I am exhausted. I'm tired. It's been a frustrating, stressful week. However, having a counter-racist code and not being confused about why these things were happening made things substantially, and I mean substantially, easier to deal with. And I would also heavily encourage one other thing. When you are in a situation where you have followed your code, you haven't got upset, you followed logic, you've answered questions, truth has been revealed, and oh, whoop, we did mistreat this nigger. Whoops, we might have to do some repair for this. You make sure you are thinking of now what would be the correct way to resolve this situation. Always make sure you're thinking of that, because they may ask in a situation and you don't want to just be stumbling and fumbling and going along with whatever they propose, because they might, you know, okay, so we mistreated you. Here's 5 toothpicks. All right. They might do that. You want to be thinking of what would be correct repair for this situation, given what's happened, given how I have been violated, mistreated, harmed. Other comments or any other remarks folks needed to get in last few minutes?
I do have something else to say.
Yes, sir.
So two things. Black female at work who is a manager in a different department, we were having a conversation about, you know, the planning license, because she plans on taking the exam herself too. And of course, I'll do my best to help her because she's a black female. But it somehow devolved into a conversation where she ended up calling me boy. Like, have you ever, maybe you all had a conversation where you're talking to another black person, usually a female, and they'll say something along the lines of, oh, boy, stop playing. So I asked her, can you please not call me boy? And then she tried to define it in the context of boy, stop playing as a jovial joke. I said it to her twice, but I'm not sure if she got the message. So we'll see if she does it again and what I would do there, because my response for a moment was to say, you know, curse, you know, say the B word, like, because, you know, girls refer to themselves as B word from time to time, but I don't want to go in that direction when I can help it. And then the second thing is that I remember my coworker who works in a different department, a black male, who recently had a problem. And when he got it resolved, by the time it was done, he ended up getting a small raise on the workplace. And of course, he is now the manager of his department, which was odd to me to a certain degree. So considering my situation where I'm definitely going to bring up this thing where they mislabel my position between planner and principal planner, is anyone aware of a situation where a black person has, you know, tried to deal with this kind of situation where they were able to get things that were duly for them that they were supposed to get without eventually losing their job or having to leave? And actually being able to move up in their workplace without more terrorism.
I can't think of like identical match where it was their position title was being hidden from them, which cost them some money or whatever, you know, in the workplace. I can't think of that exactly. However, I can think of, I think Codified Software Developer had a situation where she ran into resistance. It was, I think it was a promotion, a raise of some sort. And they were practicing racism, blocking her from it. And I think she was able to use logic to point out some of what was happening to her. And she was able to go ahead and get the raise, the promotion. And I haven't heard any retaliation of sorts. So I think that would be at least one example. I'm certain that I'm botching like the exact details, but it was something similar to whites practicing racism to keep her from getting something she had, something constructive, either more money or a higher position, something that was constructive in a workplace. They were trying to stop her from getting it. She was able to use logic. She got it. And I think it's still rolling. No carryover, no retaliation.
Understood. I guess we'll just see how I deal with my situation at work. It's going to probably take the course of a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months. So I will see.
Give us the update. You said you had a question.
What did you say?
Did you say you had a question, Ivy, for him, for his situation, or was it something else?
For him, Andy, but I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. What's the question for him?
Okay. Well, I know that, you know, men, they call themselves dogs, just like women call themselves dogs. My question is, for example, if a man had called a woman like a girl, why would she automatically default to wanting to call him a dog? Like, so in this situation, why would you automatically want to default to calling the woman a dog? Why wouldn't you want to call her a girl or something like that? That just seemed like a very elaborate leap. Like, she called you a boy and you want to call her a dog. Why weren't you provoked to just call her a girl or something like that? Something equivalent.
That is a very good question. It's because of the context that she used. So in the context that she used in the context, you know, boy, stop playing. I don't think she was referring to me like, you know, I'm a small child. I don't think I'm a child in any capacity. Oh, maybe I am. I don't know. But To me, I was trying to articulate in a situation that I simply did not want to be called boy. Now, I might be able to call a girl, but I don't think she would be bothered by that. By me escalating to the B word potentially, which I did not do, I didn't do that. I would hope that I wouldn't have to do that. The idea was I wanted her to get a sense of either being annoyed, frustrated, or insulted. The idea is that she did the same to me, and she needs to be made to feel what I felt so she understands not to do it. It wasn't necessarily to call her a B or that I was necessarily trying to escalate, but also needs to make sure if I am going to retaliate in that direction that the effects are brought, that she feels the effects of what I'm trying to get her not to do to me. And I don't personally think girl would have got that across because she just called me boy. So that means within that context, she's perfectly okay with at least in her cadre of friends going around talking to other males and females and boys and girls.
Oh, I see. Thank you for answering my question. And Gus, my question to you was, as I said, the ones of those of us who listen to the program and call in, we have a lot of reasons as to why we don't want this program to end. Like it has decreased our confusion and so many other things. For you, are there any things that have happened over the years that have specifically encouraged you?
Encouraged me to. Encourage me.
It's encouraged you in general, like to where it's made you feel like us, where we have a lot of reasons where we don't want this program to end. And you could, is there anything that you could point to and say, you know, this over here that has happened over the years, this is one of the reasons that has encouraged me as a host of this program and make me not want to end the program.
I'll have to think about that for a second. While I'm thinking, Draftomania, did you have a workplace racism comment or question you wanted to get in while I'm thinking?
Oh, hi, Gus and Gus. I just wanted to ask the caller, the gentleman that just was talking about his workplace racism, in regards to his position, that he's been, you know, he's been basically working in the capacity of a position that they have not given him compensation for. So I was wondering if there would be any way that he could get back compensation for, you know, he's really, because he's really had that position that they've been telling him that he hasn't had. So would there be any way that he would be able to get that compensation for the, you know, the position that he's been working in, but they've just, you know, been deceiving him and telling him that he hasn't had the position? And would he be consider maybe taking legal action for that, not, you know, being compensated for a job that he's been doing, but just hasn't been given a title for? And also, Gus, I wanted to say I agree with Ivy. I feel like this is one of the most productive programs I've ever listened to. And I can speak for myself that I have learned a great deal from listening to your program. Prior to finding out about your program, I kind of was feeling like I was on my own. And, you know, this forum has given me you know, it's like a platform for, you know, like-minded individuals. You know, I get an opportunity to hear other victims that are experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing. And it's just, you know, it gives me some hope, you know. So, of course, like, I want you to know that you are appreciated. I want you to also know that, you know, it is a good thing that you're taking care of yourself. Because, like, yes, this can be very stressful. You always, you know, stress us that we need to take, you know, care of ourselves. Self-care is very important, and it is. And, you know, dealing with this type of, you know, mental stress, it does. It takes a lot out of you. Dealing with, you know, racism, just having to deal with this on a daily basis, it takes a toll on us mentally, physically, and spiritually. So, you know, take care of yourself. And that's basically what I wanted to share. And thank you so much for your service.
Much obliged. Much obliged. Self-care. Very important. Woof. Heard that over the course of the past 10 days. Self-care is very important, though. White supremacy exacts a tremendous toll. And, yeah, that's yoga is a part of my self-care in spite of racists. I was going to make sure that if I am hired to do any speaking about racism and yoga, the largest obstacle to my yoga practice has been, continues to be, white people, white women specifically. Got to make sure I get it explicit, be clear. I guess things that have been encouraging when folks have implemented some of the strategies in the workplace to minimize conflict, that's encouraging. When some people have said that they have become more suspicious of whites, that's encouraging. Just seeing people implement constructive counter-racist concepts, seeing them be applied consistently, that's encouraging. And the people that are changing their diets, self-care and being mindful about what we put in our bodies, that is encouraging. But hopefully, you know, we'll just get to solving the problem, so this won't be necessary to do the program. Any other folks with workplace racism commentary, suggestions based on anything that's been shared on the broadcast?
Yeah, I can answer Draftomania's question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Oh, all right. So I am thinking about that. All right. So the idea is that the position which I currently work was originally brought into existence as a principal position and was lowered when I was laterally moved from a different department. So I've been in my current position for a little, let's say, 3 years, 3 months, and a week. And the idea is that if I'm going to collect back pay, it wouldn't just be back pay for the amount of time I've been working the position. It would also institute the range to the current pay grade that I should be at for the position, along with an extra penalty for, well, doing the recruitment at the time. And also thinking about the fact that they won't be allowed to say that, well, we promoted you, let's say, for example, a year ago without telling you versus 3 years ago when I took on a position, when the position was originally made as a principal position. And with the idea of taking legal recourse, I am absolutely thinking that I am doing that. Matter of fact, I will absolutely do that if it's not solved the way it needs to. But I imagine if I go through the correct channels and I use the correct language, because I have read Mr. Edward William Jr.'s book in which a similar situation happened. I plan on using that language to get the correct outcome, so hopefully legal action will not be required, especially with all of the debaucherous stuff that's been happening with the county administrator who hasn't done his job in like the last 5 years.
Wow. Well, I hope everything works out for you, and I appreciate you answering my question. And
you're very welcome.
How to support and defend the United States Constitution for victims of racism, white supremacy. Mr. Edward Williams Jr., his text, workbook, another workbook about racism, white supremacy. We've discussed it on the program with Mr. Williams repeatedly, founder of counter-racism.com. I'll have to go back to review to see that specific situation that's similar to non-Clemson grads. Any other folks with suggestions?
Third case where he had gotten a raise and then someone tried to take it away.
I see. Okay. I'm going to flip back through the book. I have it. I'm going to flip back through. He was given that book away for free for years. May still be, but I know it was available for free when it first came out, and then he offered it for sale. But excellent suggestions from Mr. Williams. Any other folks have comments, questions that they want to make sure they share, suggestions?
Gus, real quick, because this has really been on my mind a lot.
Are you still considering writing children's books? And I said, I promise, I'll mute my line.
I hadn't thought about it of late. I still think that's super important, like counter-racist children's books, so that little folks get these ideas promptly, so that they aren't, you know, playing catch-up and getting this information at 39 and 49, 59, all of that, 29, 19. It'd be much better to get this information at, you know, 2, 3. That way you know what it is, and you can develop your code from the very beginning, right along with everything else. But I have not devoted the time and energy to that of late. I have been grappling with racist yogis. But yes, in due time, in due time.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions, workplace racism, anything else?
Hey, Gus, did you get my email about Alice Goffman?
Yes, I did. I've been trying to nab all of the retreat recommendations. She will be next up. We got Dr. Fox. That was one. He should be here Wednesday, and we will see if we can get her next up. I think we will have nabbed all or a good chunk of the suggestions from folks who hung out at the retreat. So, yes, sir, we will nab her, or we'll at least invite.
So the fact that to get press inquiries, because I think you qualify as press, they didn't even run interference on you saying that, oh, we know what you do, we're not going to allow you to talk to her or allow her to speak to you?
Well, I haven't emailed to invite her, so I don't know if they will run interference or that sort of thing. I guess I'll report back if they do. I saw in the email that there was a direct link to her, so I'm probably going to try that first and see what happens. She might forward me along or what have you, but we shall see. Well, I will conclude that folks are good for workplace racism, at least for this here week. Hopefully I will be rejuvenated, ready to roll by the time we get to next Friday for workplace racism. As I said, we'll be on tomorrow, compensatory call-in, normal time. Dr. Jerome Fox will be here on Wednesday. That's April 3rd for his book, Addicted to Whites. So hopefully we'll be super ready to roll and energized for all of our counter-racist broadcasting for next week. But wow, this week has been exhausting. And I wanted to make sure that that is on record because, wow, just being a victim of white supremacy, it does take a toll in these things, even when you are able to perform in the exact manner that you want to. You're able to ask all the questions that you want. You respond. You're able to manage your emotions well. When you're able to execute your code in the precise manner that you want, even then, it still does take a toll. Self-care is important. Recognizing when we need to stop, get a little rest. That is important, especially in a workplace context, because I think so many of us end up being stressed and frustrated and just run ragged about the tackiness and terrorism that we deal with on the job. I think Kizzy's cousin talked about that in her email, being so abused that it had taken a toll. That is important to recognize. In my view, that is, you know, potential danger zone area. Really make that time to take care of yourself, to kind of slow things down. If that means doing a little less, some things have to come off the calendar, that's what it means. If you need a little bit more time in bed, that's what it means. And that, I mean, sometimes that's just fact for victims of racism. All of that abuse does take a toll. And I think sometimes instead of just taking this, hey, I am exhausted. Racists have, you know, thrashed me this week. That was Mr. Lowen's word from yesterday. And I need time to recuperate. Instead of doing that, we'll party or take some of White's poisons or a lot of non-constructive things to just mask the fact that, you know, we are really in a stressed and toxic state. So as best we can, recognize that, take care, replenish, do things that are going to heal from all the toxicity and punishment that is inflicted on us so that we can build ourselves back up and go back about the business of counter-racism, putting racist man, racist woman, racist child, permanently out of business. Much obliged for the folks tuning in. Again, wrapping up early because I'm exhausted. But we'll be here tomorrow. Compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. Race soldiers take advantage of non-white people all the time. We really want to have full function of our mental faculties so that we can make phenomenal decisions, crank out phenomenal questions, and go about the business of solving the problem. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.